Welcome to the Tax Update, designed for busy professionals to keep up to date using 5 minutes of listening to a weekly podcast issued each Tuesday, and we hope you'll find it a valuable help in your professional work. We begin by looking at the Morrisons decision, which faced a challenge from HMRC that a composite supply of a portable barbecue, which was disposable, but contained charcoal, a solid fuel, which by itself could benefit from the reduced 5% rate. You might think that this is trivial, but to Morrisons, the VAT difference was $192,000, and Asda and Tesco had similar appeals lined up, because being able to reduce the VAT element on the charcoal, which comprised over 50% of the supply, would make a substantial difference to the consumer price paid. Well, unfortunately, Morrisons have lost because the court ruled that what was being made was a single supply of a disposable barbecue that failed to be standard rated at 20%. But if this is of interest to you, there are notes that accompany this podcast, and in those notes there's a summary of the case as well as a link to the full decision. HMRC has also issued draft guidance on the disclosure of tax avoidance schemes, and there were changes in Finance Act 2013. So the new draft guidance has been published on the 1st of October. They also published an update on the valuation of business assets, and in particular how you might allocate different assets when there is a transfer of a going concern. HMRC have also published a new phone number for dealing with the tax affairs, including trusts of a deceased person. And this will be helpful if you're involved in work on probate, inheritance tax or trusts. I've also included in the notes a list of the new 0300 numbers which HMRC are using for other means of contact. I'm going to conclude today by summarising a case which dealt with the employer's penalty for late filing of the end-of-year return, which HMRC insisted had to be done electronically. And in this case, an elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. West, worked running a nursery, and they only employed one part-time employee for 18 hours a week over 4 months, and then 10 hours for another 4 months. So they were a very small employer. Mrs. West thought that she had submitted the end-of-year return electronically on the 27th of April, but in fact what she'd done was a test submission. But she had spent 4 hours downloading the necessary programs from HMRC and then 28 minutes on the helpline before submitting what she thought was the end-of-year return and receiving confirmation from HMRC that they had received what she had sent. However, she hadn't unticked the box, and it was treated as a test transmission. So HMRC issued her with a penalty notice in September following for £400. Mr. West, who was the proprietor of the business, thought that he'd filed. So he didn't really know what to do with this. It's a confusing situation. And HMRC's interpretation of a reasonable excuse is, even where you have a reasonable excuse, as soon as it becomes apparent that you've failed, you must remedy it without further delay. And that's what makes this appeal interesting, because he didn't understand that he hadn't actually filed the end-of-year return until he finally managed to speak to them on the 6th of January, after which he filed electronically on the 9th of January 2012. But HMRC said this was an unconscionable delay from when he'd received the penalty notice in September 2011, and he'd no reasonable excuse, so the penalty had to stand. Time and time again, HMRC's interpretation of what constitutes a reasonable excuse has been demonstrated by judgments of the courts to be overly restrictive, and this is yet another of those cases. Mr. West had done all that a prudent employer would do in the circumstances of making every effort to comply. The fact that he has to deal with a badly designed system and the HMRC are difficult to contact and less than clear in their communication would, in my view, have constituted a reasonable excuse, and I think the internal review procedure within HMRC should hang its head in shame that this case ever came to tribunal. But having got to tribunal, it demonstrates yet again HMRC's interpretation of filing penalties and reasonable excuse is overly restrictive. But there's an important point to this. HMRC base their compliance efforts on risk assessment, and if you become liable to penalties, your risk assessment score increases, and therefore you may face a full inquiry or additional questions. So commercially it might be sensible to pay the fine because it costs more to take the appeal. But as the court's decisions show, it's often worthwhile to take the appeal, especially if you think it's unfair and that you have a reasonable excuse, as Mr. West had in this case and as the court so held. Thanks very much for listening.